Lovely to be here with you again today. There isn't much time to say too much before I speak about the work that I do with the seafarers at Portbury and Avonmouth Docks as a Portbury chaplain. But I thought I'd just quickly share just one of the random encounters I had with a seafarer, a young man, recently when we had the snow. And it was freezing cold out on the ships, and snow everywhere. And this young man, named Andrew, from the Philippines, was over the moon because of the snow. He'd never seen snow before. So we take these things for granted. He'd never seen it before. And a lot of these guys, he was wanted to pose for a picture, and he had a big ball of snow in his hand. And somebody was taking a picture, but they were taking their time, and he couldn't understand why his hands were burning, you know, with the cold. But he was thrilled to experience the snow, and he tried to do these snowmen. Didn't look anything like snowmen, because he never had any experience of building these things. But he had a great time with the snow. But I also had a lovely time with him, because he was somebody who loved the Lord. He was quite passionate about his faith, but it didn't seem to be that anybody else on the ship felt the same way. And there was kind of tension, because he wanted to live his life now in a way which was honouring to God. And many on the ship, if not the rest of them, were just kind of living a life which is quite immoral. You know, when they go into port, you know, it sounded like they would often go to the nearest brothel. And he kind of was struggling with all of that and found it very difficult. And I said, well, look, I used to work in the building trade for many years, most of my working life. I know what it's like to kind of be the odd one out, and to have these struggles, and to kind of, you know, in that morality when you're trying to do the right thing, and yet, you know, you're surrounded by people who have a different idea about life. I understand. And I was able to just kind of share with him and encourage him and just say, you know, I believe in divine appointment, and that my sort of visit today on this ship, God had planned it. I'm here to encourage you. I'm here to remind you that God is for you. He understands the struggles, but he wants to encourage you. And the guy just lit up. You know, he just was so encouraged. And I said, let me pray for you before I went. And that was an extra blessing for him. And what was lovely, he said to me, can I pray for you? And that never happens. You know, I'm always kind of helping these guys, but they don't often think about how they could encourage me. And it was lovely. As I sat there, this guy just prayed over me. And it was a great time. It was a lovely time. So he had two blessings on that day. One, he was able to make snowmen for the first time. And two, to recognize that God had not forgotten him. He was there for him. And he brought that encouragement on that day. So many other things that go on the ships, but there's just no time at the moment to share those things. What I wanted to quickly bring to you today, really something that God just kind of brought something out the Bible, actually from the book of Job. We're not going to be looking at the book of Job today, so you'll be relieved about that. But it's something that Job said in Job 14, verse 14. He asked a question. And he said, if a man dies, will he live again? If a man dies, will he live again? A great question. Because the answer to that question in your own heart will affect the way you live your life. If you think this is it, this is all there is, and then when I die, I kind of enter into oblivion and there's nothing else, that affects the way you live your life. If you're like maybe many people here today, you think, no, this is just a stepping stone in this life. There's eternity before me, and that eternity is where I put my hope in my confidence. That also will affect the way you live your life. Last year, Billy Graham, the great evangelist, probably the greatest evangelist we've had in the last, 100 years, let's say, he said this. This is before he died. He said this: someday you will read or hear that Billy Graham is dead. Don't you believe a word of it. I shall be more alive than I am now. I will have just changed my address and I will have gone into the presence of God. Isn't that lovely? That confidence, I'm going to be more alive. I'm now in the presence of God and I have eternity with him in paradise. I can't wait. I can't wait to be in the presence of God. So what I want us to do today is quickly look at a short story in the book of Luke, Luke 7. It's another story that talks about Jesus. He's my favorite person. I love talking about him. And it's Luke 7 and verse 11. It's titled in my Bible, Jesus Raises a Widow's Son. Soon afterwards, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, "Don't cry." Then he went up and touched the coffin, and those carrying it stood still. He said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. They were all filled with awe and praised God. "A great prophet has appeared amongst us," they said. "God has come to help his people." This news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding area. Let me just commit this word to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we just thank you for this story in Scripture. We ask now that you would speak into our hearts and minds, that we may know what you have to say to us today, and we would be transformed by you speaking into our lives. In your precious name, amen. This story reveals a wonderful symbolism of Jesus halting that tragic procession to the grave and with a word of power brings a young man back to life. This really illustrates what God is doing in this world at this moment in time, where God is cutting in on our journey to the grave. That sounds encouraging, doesn't it? But the thing is, let's be honest. There's one thing that's guaranteed in life, is that we are all going to end up dying. So if you like, we are all on that journey to the grave. And God wants to cut in on that journey. Jesus wants to cut in on each and every one of our life's journey. And that's the good news today. And that's what we're going to be looking at. But let's just kind of pedal back a little bit and see where Jesus has just come from. He'd just been in Capernaum. He'd healed the centurion's servant in a miraculous way. Nobody had seen anything like this before. A wonderful healing. And not only that, it's the words that Jesus spoke just stopped people in their tracks. And wherever Jesus went, he drew a large crowd. Just couldn't get enough of him. And so there's this crowd now following Jesus. There's an air of expectation, excitement. What's he going to do next? What's he going to say next? And there's a real buzz of anticipation and expectation. And as they approach this town of Nain, there's another large crowd coming out of that town. But this crowd is very different. There isn't excitement and that buzz of chatter and expectation, but rather it's the opposite. There's weeping, wailing, and mourning because a widow has lost her son. There's been a catastrophe. In verse 12, it really kind of just sums it up. As Jesus approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. There it is. It's all in there, a tragic set of circumstances. She was a widow, so she'd already experienced bereavement in her life. She's lost her husband, and now she's lost her only son. A son whom she loved, but a son that she would have relied upon to help and support her and to be with her, somebody she could pour her love upon, and now he's gone. Which would mean that she's probably going to be destitute. There isn't any social services, there's no provision, there wasn't that kind of guaranteed check going to come through every week to support her. There was, you know, she'd lost her family. And now she was completely and utterly alone. Do you know, there are two unbearable words that are so devastating to hear. When we hear these two small words, whether it's on a battlefield or in a hospital waiting room or in our darkest thoughts, it brings utter despair. And those two words are no hope. No hope. And that's certainly for that widow, how she felt probably as she was on that procession to the grave to bury her son. All hope had gone, and she faced a very uncertain future. But there is hope. There is hope. There is hope for this widow, and there is hope for you and me. I'm glad we just sung that hymn as I got up. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I've got it down in my notes already. Funny enough, a week ago I spoke somewhere, and before I got up to speak, they had that hymn. You know, I thought it's going to have to be my theme tune. Not Eye of the Tiger. But there is hope because of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that once we were without hope and without God in the world, but Jesus is in the world, and we have a hope which is certain in him. So let's quickly just see what happened to this widow as the Lord brought comfort into her life. Verse 13 to 15. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, "Don't cry. Don't cry." Why? Because he was soon to remove the cause of her tears. He was soon to bring such joy in her life, it would turn her world upside down. This is a foreshadowing of what will happen in the future for those of us who trust in the Lord. You know, many times they say about 365 times, one for every day of the year, that God tells us through Scripture not to be afraid. Not to be afraid. And you could say, well, why not? Why shouldn't I be afraid? Well, in Revelation, at the end of this wonderful Bible, God promises to wipe away every tear. There'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, because the old order of things will pass away and God's going to make all things new. And I want that in my life. I want those promises in my life. And that is because of what Jesus is doing in our lives as we speak and in this world. So the Lord was about to turn this widow's life upside down. In verse 14, then Jesus went and touched the coffin, and those carrying it stood still. I think he stood still out of shock more than anything, because the religious leaders weren't supposed to go anywhere near dead bodies. Everybody knew that, and yet Jesus, he wasn't going to stop him from changing this young man's life, bringing him into new life and turning this widow's world upside down. He just went forward and he touched the coffin and he said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus came back to his mother. I'd love to know what the young man said. I wonder if he sat up and said, "What are you all looking at?" Or maybe he knew exactly what had happened and was praising God and just declaring, the glory of God. I don't know. But can you imagine the joy? Can you imagine for the mother who was on her way to the grave in a desperate and hopeless situation, and now her son is raised back to life again? I bet she was bouncing around, full of joy and praising God. But you imagine what would have happened if she'd turned Jesus away as Jesus approached her on that journey to bury her son. Imagine if she said, "Oh, stop, don't come any further. I'm taking my son to bury him." And do you know what? Jesus, being a perfect gentleman, he would have allowed her to carry on. He didn't force himself on anyone. How sad would that have been? That widow just kind of carried on and faced that uncertain and tragic future. But no, she didn't. She allowed Jesus to come in, and Jesus reached out and brought such joy into her life that only God could have made it possible. Do you know, death will never triumph over the believer because Jesus holds the keys to life. Death will never triumph over the believer. In John 11, Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die." Do you know, when we talk about hope, the world understands a hope which resembles wishful thinking. You know, we want something to happen, but we don't know whether it will happen. When the Christian talks about hope, it's a hope that is certain. And what it is, God promises something, and he wants us to trust in that promise. That's where our hope is, in the promises of God. It's not wishful thinking. It's not, I just hope, No, God has said something, and we put our trust in that promise. And Jesus says, whoever puts their trust in him will live and never die. Also, in John 3:16, that well-known piece of scripture, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Again, we're trusting in the promises of God. That's our hope, which is certain. And don't we need a lot more hope today? I don't know about you, but every time I watch the news and read the papers and that, we're in a kind of, there's a sense of hopelessness about the future. But we can have a hope in Christ which is sure, guaranteed, because God has promised it. Do you know, I want to conclude now. The lights are on, the landing lights. This will be the shortest sermon I've ever preached. Do you know, there are two groups in life. Two groups in life. There's one group that follows Jesus. There's an expectation. There's an excitement. There's an anticipation for the future. What's God going to do in our lives now? But we know what he's going to do in the future. And we're following Christ. It's wonderful. There's a buzz of excitement. You come to church and you can sort of pick up that vibe. I was reading something about Nicky Gumbel the other day in the Bible in 1 year. And he said, when he was younger, before Nicky became a Christian, he's the guy who started off Alpha that we've just been mentioned. He said he knew somebody and he had a shiny face. There was something about him, a real glow about him. And it went to later on, he found that this person was a Christian. And you will find that with many of people who follow God, there's an excitement about them. There's a buzz, an anticipation of what God's going to do in the future. But there's also in life another group. This group doesn't have that confidence for the future. There isn't that kind of buzz of excitement. There's an uncertainty. There's a kind of hopelessness. What's going to happen? What's the future got in store for me? The group that follows Christ has an endless hope because we believe it goes on into eternity. The other group has a hopeless end. That's the end of it. End of my life, there's nothing else, a hopeless end. Do you know today God, Jesus Christ, wants to cut in on your journey? We're all on life's journey together. We all face that certain end, but it doesn't have to be a hopeless end. It can be an end filled with excitement, anticipation that will go on into eternity. An endless hope. And Jesus today wants to cut in on your journey. Now we have a choice. God doesn't force himself upon us. Like that widow, she said, come in. Touch my life. Come in. And God turned the world upside down and brought her such joy that only God could make it possible. But what if she said no? Back off. This is my life. This is my journey. We have that choice again today. Has Jesus cut in on your life? Has he brought that joy and that hope for the future, which is certain? Or are today you going to say, no, God, this is my life. I'll take my chances and see where I end up. God wants to cut in on your journey today. My prayer is that you'll say, yes, come in. Change my life. Give me that hope for the future that only can be found in him. We've mentioned Alpha. That's a good way of allowing God to come into your life. What I've said today is kind of in a nutshell, but if you need more insight, more understanding, turn up at Alpha, and that will allow God to just come in and change your life. Turn it upside down with an endless joy and an endless hope. I pray that you'll do this. I pray that you'll do this. And you'll be like Billy Graham saying, no, when I die, I'm not dead. I'm more alive than I've ever been. I'm in the presence of God. Let me close in prayer. Father God, we just thank you for that story in Scripture. We thank you, Lord God, that you want to cut in on our journey, on life's journey. I thank you, Lord God, for all those who said, yes, come in, change me. Give me that hope and that confidence for the future. Lord, but there will be some here who still are on that journey, have not said yes to you. I pray that you would speak into their hearts and minds. Reveal who you are, that you are the Savior of the world. You are God Almighty, and they too can also have that confidence in you. Lord, will you speak into their lives now, I pray. And Lord, even today, may there be some who would leave this place knowing that they belong to you. I pray this in your precious name. Amen.